By now, the world is telling Casey's story. Casey was a hardworking American. Casey was somebody who was just amazing. Casey was full of life and full of love. And the family of Casey is so happy to know that that story is being told. Casey was peaceful. Casey was somebody who, on his keychain, he had Mickey Mouse. Casey was someone who loved animals. He would take in dogs and just take care of them. He would take care of snakes and just random animals. He loved this world. He loved his family. That's who Casey is. Casey is somebody who was taught to be hardworking, and he had goals. Casey wanted to own a fleet of trucks, and so he took classes to complete his commercial driver's license. He was so proud of that. Completing that and just having that goal and that aspiration of owning his own fleet of trucks. Casey was somebody who wanted to be a CCW instructor. And so Casey took steps to complete those classes and to have that license. Casey took the right steps to achieve his goals and to live his life and to make his family proud and to show that his younger siblings that if you do the right thing and you work hard and you take the right steps, good things will happen. That's who Casey was. Casey was not a suspect. Casey was not involved in any criminal investigation. Casey was somebody who was living his life the same as any of us. That's who Casey was. And so Casey was somebody who knew that given his passion for learning about guns and advocating for gun safety and just following the rules, that he had to also teach his family about that and be that example. Casey's sister, Janae, tells a story about how Casey would always educate her about properly having a firearm, making sure that she was never caught with an illegal weapon. Casey taught his aunt about just the need to have her CCW and to protect herself. Once Casey's grandfather passed away, Casey began to see himself as the protector of his family. And so he knew that in America, his right was to bear arms in this country, and that living in Ohio, he had a right to openly carry a weapon if he chose, and that if he wanted to carry a concealed weapon, that he had to have a permit to do so. That's who he was. He followed the rules. He was about safety. And so it's important that we note that as Black people in this country, our skin cannot be weaponized. We have a country where if someone wants to protest at the state house, they can carry assault rifles as if their skin is white. But as Black people, we have to worry about whether carrying a weapon and exercising that right will lead to our death. I can tell you personally that I am afraid to get a CCW. I want to get a CCW license, but I'm afraid to do so. I want to protect myself and to protect my family, but I have a fear of being killed. And that was prior to Casey's death. That's been my entire adult existence, because I know as a Black man that I'm viewed differently. And so I sit here, I went to law school. I have on a suit and a tie, but I work late sometimes. And when I leave the office, I'm always mindful that I could be attacked, but I can't protect myself because I can't carry a weapon because my skin is weaponized. And so Casey was courageous because he, in a world that does not protect him, he made the decision that he wanted to exercise that right and protect his family and himself. So that's Casey. And so on December 4th, Casey was living his life and just doing the right thing per usual. That morning, he made sure that his teeth were clean by going to the dentist. And on his way home, he stopped at Subway to get subs for himself and for his grandmother and his brother. Casey had his face mask that day. We know that because on his kitchen floor lies that face mask next to those Subway sandwiches. Casey was arriving home that day, the same as any other day. And we don't know what happened. We don't know what happened. We deserve to know what happened, but we have no idea at this point what happened that led to Jason Mead choosing to take Casey's life. But Casey's not a suspect in any way, shape, or form. Casey was someone who was killed on his kitchen floor simply because he was a black man and his skin was weaponized. And so Casey tried to protect himself and unfortunately was unable to do so. And we have to protect Casey. In the aftermath of Casey's death, his grandmother saw Casey lying on the kitchen floor, dying. His five-year-old brother saw Casey lying on the kitchen floor, dying. In all, there were 9 family members in the house at the time, 5 adults and 4 children. They have no idea what happened that led to Jason Mead choosing to take Casey's life. But in talking to them, Casey's uncle tells a story of how they heard gunshots and someone burst in their door. So he grabs his 3-year-old daughter and he looked up and he saw someone pointing a gun at him, yelling at him to leave the house before he was drugged out of the house. And in that trauma, as he tried to exit his home, he was further threatened by that person with that gun who said, "What are you doing? Get out of this house before I shoot you too." So Casey's not the suspect here. And we need to look at the actions of Jason Mead and what he did that led to Casey's death, as well as how this family was treated in that aftermath and how they were further threatened and mistreated and treated inhumanely. And so, you know, we have a family that had no idea that this would happen, and they have no answers, and they're dealing with trauma that will affect this family for generations. They're going to need counseling. They're going to need love from this entire country because Casey did not deserve this. In a year in which we said everything that we could about racial justice in this country, There have been countless news stories and articles about this social justice awakening in this country. There have been commitments from corporations and from athletic organizations surrounding how they will commit to social justice in this country. If we're talking about our rights as black people in this country, our right to bear arms is one that, you know, it is something that is apparently a right that many people are passionate about. But unfortunately, black people cannot be passionate about their right to bear arms. And so that conversation around black people and guns must be normal. That conversation around black people and guns must be normalized because we have to be able to protect ourselves and our families. Casey tried to do the right thing. It's important that we talk about normalizing black people protecting themselves in this country, and that all Americans stand up to protect black people, and that all Americans stand up and speak out for Casey Goodson. So I spoke about that generational trauma that impacts many, many victims of police violence, and Casey Goodson's family is unfortunately forever impacted by that. And so from this point, I'll have Tamala speak about how they were treated in that aftermath, what her family went through, and just things from her perspective. Take your time.
I got the phone call and I went to the scene. When I pulled up to the scene, I was angry and I was screaming. But I just wanted to get to my family and get answers. They had them inside of the taped off area and they were sitting in my niece's car. And they wouldn't let them come to me, and they wouldn't let me get to them, but my five-year-old was screaming for me. So they tried to stop him, but I wouldn't let him. I got him, and I put him in my car, because he had witnessed the whole thing. They wouldn't let my mom come. She was standing there crying. They wouldn't let my daughters come to me. They were standing there crying. They wouldn't let me go to them. My sister pulled up, and it was one sergeant, and I don't know his name, and I know his face, and it was just one, there's a million police out there, different police, U.S. Marshals, CPD, the Sheriff Department, but it was one sergeant, he was a head sergeant, I believe, and he would talk to my sister, and he was really informative when she pulled up, and he would update her. The rest of them out there were assholes. They dragged my son's dog out by his neck, covered in blood, in front of the whole family, drug him and threw him into a van, and his body upside the van to the point where everybody standing out there could hear his body hitting. We were standing out there. They went and confirmed what hospital Casey went to. They wouldn't give us any information that said he was dead or alive on the stretcher. We knew that his eyes was open, but we didn't know if he was dead or alive. So we were praying that he was going to make it. But then my sister was informed that he did not make it by the sergeant. I don't know his name, but he was a kind man. When we found out Casey didn't make it, of course, we were all destroyed and we just wanted each other. They wouldn't let us. The deputy, because I was trying to get to my family, was calling me bitches. Not once, but several times I was called a bitch. They wouldn't let them have keys to the car to get heat. They were outside, freezing cold, no shoes, no coats, no socks. My 18-year-old was in a bra. I mean, we will never be the same. And we still don't have answers as to why. Why? Like, why do why? Why? Why are we going through this? What did he do? Why did he deserve this? Like, why? What did you do this for? What would make you do this to our baby when he didn't do nothing to you? He was just a black man coming home from a dentist appointment. He didn't do anything. And he was killed and murdered. Cold-bloodedly, in a violent manner. For nothing. And the man who did it, the coward who did it, refuses to even speak. He won't even say why. What is your lie? Because he's not going to say why. Because the reason why is because my son is a young black man. And he became a target. That's why. But he won't even tell us his lie to try to cover up the fact that he's a racist pig.
So from this point, you know, again, it's important that we rally around Casey's family, protect them, understand their pain and the pain of so many people across this country. This has gone on for so long. And I'll just, you know, end on the point that we have to put an end to the assault on black people in this country. I, as a black man, I sit here today, and I fear for my life, the same as Casey, unfortunately, did on that day. And so at this point, we will pass it on to Sarah.
Thank you, Sean. I echo what Sean said about the pain of the family. You can feel Tamala's pain, brokenness, her anger, the family's anger, the family's sorrow and grief is justified. And nothing can give them back the life of their loved one. Nothing can bring back Casey. At this point, this family deserves to know what happened, and this family deserves to see the officer, the man who murdered Casey, face consequences for his actions. And that is why an investigation, a thorough, transparent investigation, is so essential in this case. And we are pleased and hopeful that the federal government has stepped in. We have confidence that they will treat this investigation with the seriousness that it deserves. However, we remain extremely concerned that because of the way this investigation was mishandled from the moment of the shooting, that the entire investigation is forever tainted. And the federal government has a very large hurdle here in order to be able to prove that the investigation into this case can be unbiased and thorough and adequate, because from the start, we know that it was in fact biased. And we know that starting from what Tamala just told us, because from the moment of the shooting, Casey was treated as a suspect. Casey was treated as a criminal. Not only Casey, but his family were treated as suspects. They were treated as criminals. And it is those officers on the scene who set the stage for the investigation. When the critical incident report, critical incident response team from the Columbus Division of Police came in to investigate this case, they brought with them their bias against Casey and in favor of Meade. And we know this because CERT has a history, an admitted history, of conducting biased investigations into the use of deadly force. In fact, a training put on for CERT members by the head of the CERT team explicitly states that an officer who uses deadly force should never be treated as a suspect. He should never be placed in the back of a cruiser. He should never be placed in handcuffs. He should always immediately be provided with an emotional support team member. That is how they treat the officer. The officer who should be and is the subject of a criminal investigation. That is what this family deserves. That the government, that the law enforcement agencies, and those investigating this case treat this as a criminal investigation. And that not Casey, but Meade is the subject of that criminal investigation. And yet all of these considerations are made for the officer and none for Casey and none for his family. Everything that the CERT team says should not happen to the officer happened to Casey's family that day. That is wrong, and that has tainted this investigation so thoroughly that we will forever have to question the impact of that. The CERT team has admitted to us in other cases, in other uses of deadly force cases, that they, at the beginning of an investigation, they assume that the shooting is justified. And they proceed through their investigation with that assumption in mind. And we know in this case that that is in fact the assumption that this investigation proceeded under, because we have the U.S. Marshal came forward immediately before an investigation and said that he believed that this shooting would be justified. That U.S. Marshal has a long and decorated history with the Division of Police, who in fact was part of the foundation of the CERT team. It is that kind of biased investigation that happened for the first several days of this investigation. Those first days after Meade killed Casey are the most essential days. The way that that scene was processed that day is essential. The way that witnesses were identified and interviewed is essential. And we know, and the Attorney General agrees, that there is a whole host of problems that could have arisen now, and we will never know what was missed. At this point, after the scene has been, in the words of the Attorney General, dismantled, and witnesses dispersed, we will never know how this investigation went badly, but we will always have questions, and that is unfair to this family, and it is unfair to this community, because we know that Meade has a long history of problems as an officer. Way back in 2007, the documentation began about his problems. Insubordination, a history of violence. He was put for a period of time on the no contact with inmates list because he couldn't be trusted to have contact with inmates when his job was to care for inmates. And we know that he was involved in another use of deadly force case only 2 years ago. We need to know what has been done to watch Meade. What steps were taken, if any, to ensure that this man was not a danger? What did this department know about him before they put him in this position where he, just like he had done in the past, resorted to violence unnecessarily and took Casey's life in his own home? And we need to know right now, where is Jason Meade? Jason Meade has not said a word. This department can choose to release information about this shooting, and they are refusing to do so. What are they hiding? What are they afraid of? We know that regularly what happens, and so we can presume that this is what would happen in this case, that an officer like Meade who kills someone is immediately given a new gun. They take away the gun that he used to kill Casey, and then they give him a new gun. And maybe he's off the streets for a while on administrative leave, but they put him back on the streets. And we want to know, we demand to know that Meade is off these streets and does not act as a police officer until the end of this investigation, and honestly, never again. If Meade is back on the streets, acting as a police officer before the end of this investigation, what we have is an officer who is currently being investigated for not only civil rights violations, but for murder and murder-related criminal charges. And yet he would be out policing our communities. This is wrong. This is unsafe. It puts everyone at risk, and it flies in the face of justice. It's once again another time that this family will have to know that law enforcement has deferred to Meade and not to Casey and not to Casey's legacy. These are questions that need to be answered. I implore the media to push this issue. Where is Jason Meade? How is the department ensuring that the community is safe from him until at the very least the end of this investigation, this criminal investigation? I do want to address some things that are coming up in the questions, as Sean has, that the possession of a firearm does not justify deadly force. Commission of a crime, even a traffic violation, a misdemeanor, even a felony, does not justify the use of deadly force. And to believe otherwise is wrong. To believe otherwise is to credit the police actions and to put everyone at risk, because any police officer who is out there using deadly force in the face of anything less than a threat of deadly force is dangerous. So regardless of when we hear justifications, and there will be justifications from the police department, because we know that Meade very likely has not made a statement yet, and is instead working with his union representatives and his lawyers to prepare a statement to justify his actions. But don't be fooled by it, and always question, what was the justification for the use of deadly force? And did Casey Goodson really present any immediate threat to Meade's safety, to Meade's life, as he was opening the door to go into his house to bring food to his family? And we don't believe that he did.
And, you know, Sarah, to jump in, if I could.
Please.
Okay. I want to point out 2 days prior to Casey's death, there was a white man in Central Ohio here who was stopped in a traffic stop. And he ended up being charged with the improper handling of a firearm because he had it lying on his passenger seat, which is a violation of safety laws. And that gentleman also threatened to shoot the officers twice. He slammed his car door and sped away. He's alive. And he threatened to shoot the officers. So as we know, to this point, based on the statements from the U.S. Marshal and the sheriff, there's no allegation that Casey threatened to shoot or any allegation of that nature. And so we're asking about Casey having a gun legally with the CCW and, to our knowledge, not being alleged with any violation of a gun law. He's dead. And a white man 2 days prior in Ohio sped away after threatening to shoot officers. So again, the suspect here is Jason Mead, and we have to have questions about what he did. Casey was in his home and is dead. Let's ask questions about Jason Mead here. Let's stop criminalizing Casey without any facts that would criminalize him.
Period.
Mm-hmm. If people have questions, please put them in a place where we put questions. And Sean, you can jump in on this. We do know that the police allege that a gun was recovered. We have not been told where, but family in the kitchen. Well, Sean, maybe you can address what family saw or didn't see in the kitchen there.
Yeah. So we know that grandmother, made a call that Casey was shot in the back. She witnessed him lying on the ground. She witnessed the blood. They saw the Subway sandwiches. They saw him take his final breaths. They did not see a gun on his person or anywhere like that. But it also would not be a surprise to them because legal right to carry a gun. But no, they did not witness a gun. It's been said that one was recovered, but they have no knowledge of any facts about that gun.
In response to another question, the police have confiscated Casey's phone and have maintained custody of that phone. So we don't have it at this time. I am not aware of rumors of threats being made to any officers. I will say, and Tamala, you can address this if you would like at some point, I suppose. This just real quickly though, let me just say one thing, that the people who have been threatened in this case, the people who have been criminalized in this case, are Casey's family. And that started right from the start. That's how they were treated at the scene, and when officers left, they haven't heard from them since. So they were criminalized and victimized. We don't control the public, but people are outraged, and they should be outraged at this death, at Casey's death. This is just another name that goes on the list of Black people gunned down by law enforcement in this country, and it has to stop.
And also, I want to point out that when I spoke, I stated that Mead pointed his gun at Casey's uncle, Ernest, and threatened to shoot him if he did not get out of the house while he was holding his 3-year-old daughter. So if there are rumors about random family members making threats, if we have any proof of that, we can address it at that point. But what we know is that his uncle, his traumatized uncle holding his 3-year-old daughter, was threatened by this intruder into his home with death. And so that is an allegation that we can certainly speak to.
If anyone else has questions, go ahead and drop them. Otherwise, we will. There, as far as we know, there was no body camera footage because the sheriff's office did not deem it important enough to purchase body cameras for their officers. So at this point, we are not aware of any body camera footage, and we have been, it's our understanding that it doesn't exist.
Shonda, as you're monitoring, are there any questions that you want to call out or follow up responses that Sean or Sarah or Tamala can respond to.
Sure. I think we're getting some questions about why were the officers there at the residence or near the residence on the day in the first place, and looking into what was the cause of them being there. Anyone you want to address that?
You know, all we have are the statements that have been put out by the Franklin County Sheriff's Office. The family just knows that someone burst into their home, shot Casey, threatened them, pushed them outside, mistreated them, called Tamala bitches. You know, all of these just aggressive allegations, and they have no answer. So,
and was there any indication that Casey was being aggressive to these officers, or that he personally made any types of threats to any of the officers involved?
According to the statements that have been released, that is not the case.
And remember, just, you know, it can't, use of force is not justified just by, use of deadly force is not justified just because an officer is frustrated or upset or doesn't like a person's response to them, or, you know, is being talked back to. The only way a use of deadly force is justified is in the face of a threat of deadly force, period.
Tamala, can we talk about who all was in the house on the day that Casey was killed? If, maybe not names, but there were several family members there, correct?
Yes, there were my 72-year-old mother, my 5-year-old son, my 18-year-old daughter, my 22-year-old niece and her 4-year-old daughter, my 35-year-old brother, his children's mother, their 10-year-old and their 3-year-old.
And did any of them hear an officer say something like drop their weapon or hear any altercation at all?
No, nobody heard nothing but the gunshots. I heard Casey flying through the door.
And also some questions about potential protests this weekend. What message does the family want to present or send out to potential protesters? If there's anything that we want to say there, maybe Sean or Sarah, if you want to address that.
I think Tamala wants to kind of speak out and let folks know what she wants, Casey.
I want everything done in peace. My son was a peaceful man, and I want his legacy to continue in peace. I am calling for justice. That is all I'm calling for. I want justice. I want Jason Mee arrested. I want Jason Mee charged. And I want Jason Mee's badge taken. I don't want Jason Mee to ever be able to practice in law enforcement again. And that is what Casey's protest and Casey's rallies are about. This is about receiving justice for my son.
Thank you for sharing that and the message of peace with those protests. In the interest of time, and I know this is really hard for you, Tamala, maybe Sarah and Sean, if there's one more question each of you want to address, or if there's anything else that Tamala, you'd like to say at this time.
I think we're good. I'm not seeing any other outstanding questions, at least that I can tell from right now. Thank you for attending. Thank you for covering this. It's important that we keep an eye on this investigation. We keep pushing forward until there really is justice done for Casey, and that this officer, this man, can never hurt another person again.
Thank you, Sarah. Again, thank you all for attending. Thank you again for your time, and have a good day.